This invocation from the Srimad Bhagavatam is offering one's respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord because of all causes, the source of everything, the absolute truth, who appeared in this world as the son of Vasudeva. In a few days from now, we will be celebrating Janamastami. This is the most auspicious of all days, for it is that day which commemorates when Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, appears in this material world to bless with his holy footprints the planet Earth and to attract the minds of all fortunate beings back to his eternal abode. For this, in fact, is the supreme goal of life. And the great Purana of Vyasadeva, the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically deals with the transcendental history of the life of Lord Sri Krishna. And by hearing the pages of the Bhagavatam, by hearing the narration of Srila Shukadeva Goswami from the lips of those honest and pure souls who have dedicated their lives in the service of the Lord, then all auspicious benedictions can come upon one's life. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Sri Krishna, appearing in the guise of his own devotee, he declared Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is spotless because it is different than any of the other Vedic literatures. As Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Niradvandvo Nityasatvashto Niyogakshema Atmavan, that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. The Vedas mainly deal with elevating the consciousness of the conditioned soul from the modes of ignorance to the mode of goodness. But the Srimad Bhagavatam specifically and exclusively deals with elevating the soul to the purest state of divine consciousness, in which unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving devotion to the Lord is awakened from within one's heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that this is the essential nature of the soul, to know God and to love God. But due to forgetfulness of our own true self, we become endlessly entangled in the complexities of this material nature. And thus, we suffer the threefold miseries of material existence: adi-atmaka, adi-bhautaka, and adi-daivaka. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by natural disturbances. And these threefold miseries are imminent in every step of our life. It is all due to the great illusion. We are thinking ourselves to be of this world. We are identifying ourselves with matter, considering we are this body and those things in relationship to this body, that they are mine. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. This is the grand illusion that is keeping everyone in a frustrated condition. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the divine philosophy of Bhagavatam, of achintya abheda bheda tattva, which means that the spirit soul is simultaneously one with God and at the same time different. The impersonalistic school of philosophers, the Advaita philosophy, teaches that we are in all respects one with God. That jagan mitya brahma satyam, that this whole world is illusion and only Brahma or spirit is truth. And when we transcend the illusions of this world, we realize that we are that one Brahman. That we are the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer of everything that exists. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extracted from the essence of the Vedas the proper conclusion, which is that we are one with God in quality because we are part of Him. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta shanat. But we never become God. We are always infinitesimal, and God is always infinite. He is Vibhu, unlimited, and we are Anu. We are very tiny, very small particles of the Lord. So therefore, the part is identical with the Lord in that the Lord is Satchit Ananda and the part is Satchit Ananda. But the Lord is the all-encompassing, complete whole Satchit Ananda, and we are eternally subordinate to Him, as confirmed in the Upanishad. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidati kama. That there is one supreme being, Bhagwan, and there are infinite eternal beings who are everlastingly subordinate to that one supreme being. Therefore, the conclusion of this philosophy is that as a part, our relationship to Krishna is that we are eternally His servant. Jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. Our constitutional position, our natural propensity on the spiritual platform of consciousness is to serve the source of everything that exists, Lord Sri Krishna, with love and with devotion. And the path of bhakti is the natural process of reawakening this service attitude toward the reservoir of all attractive qualities, Sri Krishna. When we again resume our position as the servitor of Godhead, like a fish entering into water after being in the sand for a long time, we can find the real bliss, the real joy of our natural life. But as long as we are apart from this divine consciousness of loving, humble service to the Lord, then all of our attempts for happiness in this world will inevitably bear the fruit of frustration. Life in the spiritual world is very simple. simply to accept the humble position of God's servant, our life becomes perfect. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives very simple formula. Yat karoshi yad ashnashi, yad johoshi tatasayat, yat tapasyasi kunteya tat kurushamadarapanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away should be done as an offering to me. Is that difficult? One may ask, but what do I have to give compared to so many others? In response to that, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. That even if you offer me a fruit, a flower, or a little water, if you offer it with devotion and sincerity, I will accept it. Whether you are a very wealthy personality or whether you are a very simple peasant, our simple and natural tendency is to offer whatever we have in the loving service of the Lord, and our life becomes perfect. There is this story when they were building the bridge over the Indian Ocean. Hanuman was tearing off the peaks of mountains and placing them in the water to float. Then there was a tiny spider kicking grains of sand with his eight little legs. And when Hanuman saw the spider, he ordered the spider, out of my way. I have a very great mission to execute on behalf of Lord Sri Ram. And when Lord Sri Ram heard this, he said, Hanumanji, please do not speak like this to my spider devotee. Because in my eyes, he is doing every bit as much as you are. He is offering in a mood of service his capacity. And you are offering in your capacity whatever service you can offer. I do not see the quantity. I see the quality of consciousness. This is the essence of bhakti, to develop this quality of consciousness in which whatever we do, we are doing it in the knowledge that my real happiness, my real pleasure, and my real goal of human existence is to please Lord Hari with my every act, my every word, and my every thought. Srimad Bhagavatam declares, Atapumbir dvijastrestas varanashrama vibhagasha swanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari toshanam. Whatever your occupation may be, whether you may be a Brahmin, a priest, or whether you be a Kshatriya, a government official or a military man, or a Vaishya, an agricultural worker, a businessman, a banker or a trader, or a Sudra, a common worker, whether you be a sannyasi in the renounced order of life, or whether you are a retired householder going to holy places trying to purify your existence, or whether you be a grihasta with husband, wife, children, and so many family responsibilities, or whether you be a brahmachari, a student, your goal and purpose of life is the same. Samsadir hari toshanam, to please Krishna. And it is not difficult to please Krishna. Simply we have to accept our natural position, that Krishna, I am your servant. how can I serve you? When we chant the great mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, this is a prayer to the Supreme Lord, where we are falling at His lotus feet, and we are pleading, my dear Lord, O all-attractive, all-pleasing, Supreme Lord of my life, O Sri Radharani, Goddess of Bhakti, how may I engage in your service? How may I please you? As long as we are considering how our own senses and mind may be pleased, we entangle ourselves in the endless complexities of the laws of karma. But as soon as we simply transfer that desire to, my dear Lord, how can I please you? We are instantly freed from all the reactions of karma. The laws of karma are so complicated and so intricate and so hard and fast. But it is so simple to escape them. Do you know what men are doing in today's society to escape the reactions of their own karma? They're spending billions and billions of dollars and putting all their human life's energies just to try to find a solution to the problems which were caused by their own previous actions. And they cannot do it. The best they could do is change the sinful reaction from one type of misery to another. Huh? If you are destined by your karma to suffer a particular disease, you may cure that disease, but you'll suffer the same quantity of misery from another disease. You cannot escape your karma. But Krishna gives us a very simple process by which we can escape all karma forever. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masasya. Abandon all your attempts and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And how do we surrender to Krishna? It is very simple. Instead of desiring what will please my senses and my mind, we simply think, Krishna, how can I please you? Instead of thinking, how can I serve my own selfish senses and my own uncontrolled mind, we simply think, Krishna, how can I serve you? When we chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, this divine consciousness of loving service is spontaneously and naturally awakened from within our heart. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught us how to perfect our life by accepting our natural position of the servant of God, that we could realize through direct perception of our own innermost nature, our essence, through the chanting of the sound vibration of God's name. Therefore, there is no charity, according to the Shastra, that is more benevolent than giving a person the name of God. There is no compassion that is more pleasing to the heart than sharing a person, sharing with a person the name of God. There is no sacrifice or ritual that is more purifying than the chanting of the name of God. And there is nothing that creates an auspicious atmosphere greater than when the devotees come together to chant the name of God. Indeed, in this age of Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the name of God. Because factually, all religious performances and observances, all study of the Shastra, all penances, austerities, and all the results of the performance of the mystic system of yoga are attained simply by chanting God's name. Because when we chant the name of God, our desire to serve the Lord grows and grows and grows. And as we desire to serve the Lord and love the Lord, all of our material conditioning is cleansed from the heart, anartha nivritti. And then we can relish, enjoy the true happiness, which is the gift that God is offering to all of us. The true happiness of divine love for all living creatures. The true happiness of direct perception of the all-beautiful, all-merciful, lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. The happiness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that we have been hankering for birth after birth after birth can be attained simply by accepting the name of God and taking shelter of the mercy of the holy name. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? We can in each specific incident you're speaking explain but in general it is said in the Vedas tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacche, which means that if you want to understand what is the conclusion of the Vedas, what is the real meaning of the slokas of the Vedas, you must learn from a spiritual master. One who approaches the Vedas directly will inevitably be confused, apparently perceive so many contradictions and so many inconsistencies. But factually, within the great scriptures of the world, there are no contradictions and there are no inconsistencies. The contradictions and the inconsistencies are due to the small-mindedness of our perception. Therefore, we find that the great acharyas of all the authorized sampradayas, they never simply translate the Vedic literatures. Because they know that the translation alone will not be properly understood by humanity. Therefore, they always give a purport, a commentary, an explanation for every verse. To give an explanation of how and why the Lord and his devotees are behaving the way they do. Now, the Mahabharata, which is being shown on television, is certainly a very noble and virtuous act of service to humanity to bring about a wider and deeper interest in the pastimes and the message of the Supreme Lord, and bringing people back closer to the religious roots of the heritage of India. But as far as spiritual enlightenment, the Mahabharata, the television show, is simply telling the story. Therefore, it is impossible for the common man to properly understand what they are seeing, unless there is a commentary, an explanation, step by step, by a self-realized soul, as to how Queen Kunti is perfectly chaste, and yet she has given birth to Karna before her marriage. How Parasara Muni and Satyavati are perfectly instruments in the hands of God, although they are coming together in union without marriage to give birth to the literary incarnation of Godhead Vyasadeva. When the common man sees these leelas, he thinks, how is this possible? Why is this happening? Why are these great souls behaving in such a way? How will you understand? But factually, each one of these persons is acting perfectly according to the inconceivable will of God. And these pastimes are glorious and glorified by all virtuous sadhus. But in order to understand how and why the great souls are glorifying them, you have to hear from the lips of the Bhagavats. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that there is the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. You cannot possibly understand the book Bhagavat unless you hear it from the lips of the person Bhagavat, one who is following the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you take the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, he was stealing butter, makhan chaur. Stealing is unethical. He was dancing with gopis who were other men's wives. That's also unethical. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami says, to hear these leelas without hearing them with the explanation of the self-realized souls is like drinking poison to your soul. Krishna says in Gita, Tadvidi pranipate na pariprasne na sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnani nasvata darshana. He does not say, if you want to understand the truth, read the Vedas. He says, if you want to know the truth, you have to approach a bona fide spiritual master. And he will teach you the Vedas. He will explain to you the Vedas. And thus you will know the truth. Even Krishna, when he appeared, he was God himself. He studied the Vedas from Sandipani Muni, a guru. And Lord Sri Ramchandra studied the Vedas from Vishramitra Muni and Vishishta Muni. So even if God, when he comes, he comes to set the proper example. And the Vedas themselves declare, you cannot understand the essence or the mystery of the Vedic literatures without the mercy of the vision of a guru. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Benama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but the mercy of Guru is like a torchlight which gives light and knowledge. Therefore, our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we will find in his translations of all the Vedic literatures, he is following in the footsteps of all the great acharyas. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Balabhacharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baladev Vidyabhushan. All these previous great acharyas have given the Vedas to the people in general in the same way. And our Guru Maharaj did it exactly according to the proper etiquette of the previous acharyas, where he would translate a verse, give the word-for-word translation, give the translation into the local language, and then explain with a commentary exactly how to understand what is taking place. So when we hear these beautiful stories and we get the proper purport or commentary by the great souls, only then can we understand as it is what is taking place. Acharyopasanam, which means one who hears from an acharya understands things as they are. Everyone else understands things as they think it is. But when you hear from an acharya, you understand as it is. Otherwise, without the commentary of the acharyas, all these stories are a very pious form of entertainment. But they will not bear the fruit of spiritual enlightenment. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.